mountains roar when the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar when the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ the saving one? And we can see that God is moving, a mighty river through the nations, and young and old will turn to Jesus. Sing wide, you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up the doors and let the music play, let the streets resound with singing. Tremble when all the saints join in one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. And we can see that God is moving, a time of jubilee is coming, when young and old return to Jesus. Fling wide, you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the dreams resound with singing. Songs that bring your hope. were Dennis for me. When you were broken, you were beaten, you were punished, I go free. When you were wounded and rejected, in your mercy, I am healed. Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend, does his kindness have no bounds? With your precious blood, you have purchased me. Oh, the mystery of the cross. You were punished, you were crushed. But that punishment has become my peace. Yes, that punishment has become my peace. And I love you for the cross. I'm overwhelmed by the mystery. I love you for the cost that Jesus, you would do this for me. When you were broken, you were beaten, you were punished, I go free. When you were wounded So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. And so I wait. I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along, put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied. Here in your life.
let's pray for them. Just extend your hands for them. Lord, we thank you for these young people, that you would bless them, that they would know you, not just in their head, but their heart, in their life. They would know you as their God and Savior, Jesus. And empower them this morning just to hear and apply what they hear, what they learn to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, what's happening tomorrow? Does anyone know what holiday we're celebrating tomorrow? Memorial Day. This is not Veterans Day. Do you know the difference? The living versus the non-living. So Memorial Day, we're celebrating those who died defending our country. They died that you and I might live in freedom. So we're remembering them tomorrow. So if you know any families of people that have passed in battle, be sure to express your gratitude to them. And we're very grateful for those that have given their lives for us. We have a birthday this week, Bob Gardner. So Bob is going to be 29 again or 36 or one of those on the 30th. So happy birthday, Bob. And Cameron and Tracy on the 31st are celebrating an anniversary. So congratulations, y'all. How many years is it? 28. Nice job. Nice job. We're going to be having new Keys of Freedom groups starting. If you have seen the series we've gone through and you want to go through the book with a group, Greg Frankenfield would be the one to talk to, or you could let the office know. We'll be starting those in the summer, and it kind of just depending on who signs up and when they're available. So, but just want to let you know, if you're interested, reach out and be part of one of those groups. On Thursday, May 29th, this week, the ladies are going to meet for prayer in the Lion Room at 9 a.m. If you have been here 6 months or more and you are curious about membership, we encourage you to attend. We're going to have a membership class starting June 15th. It's going to meet during Circle Church time, probably in my office. Just because you take that class doesn't mean that you have to become a member, but it's a good way to say, what does it look like to be a member at Grace Fellowship? So if you are interested in doing that, please let the office know. I need to get some books for that, so I want to know how many will be coming. Also, if you have never been baptized, baptism isn't just for kids. It's for adults. It's for whoever has come to the Lord and wants to make a public declaration of faith. So we're going to have a baptism later this summer. So if you're interested in doing that and you haven't ever done that, we'd love to make that possible for you. We also have this little apartment at the back of the church right now that has no one in it. It is called the GFC Retreat Apartment. If you would like to take a spiritual retreat, please contact the office and we will let you know if that's available during that time. So that's the retreat apartment. So please feel free to reach out and avail yourself of that. That is it for the announcements. So thank you so much for listening to those and paying attention. We're going to start, I guess we'll see if I can use the clicker right. Yay. All right, so we're starting a series on 2 Peter now. So as I tend to do at the start of books, we watch a Bible project video. So this gives you an overview, so we'll check it out. It's not working? Oh. Good stuff. All right. They'll maybe watch it next week. All right. I thought I got the version that would work, so say love you. Oh, I should have, yeah. Oh, well. Okay. So, we will move on. Sometimes you have to adjust. Has anyone ever had to do that? So, I'll do a little bit of just what I know, 2 Peter. I'll step in that. So, 2 Peter is a book that was written by Peter. Some doubt that Peter wrote it, but as I was looking into it, there's something interesting. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says Simeon Peter. I don't know if you noticed that. It doesn't say Simon. And there's only one other place where they use Simeon for Simon. It's in Acts where he is being addressed by the Jerusalem Council, Simeon. And many say only Simon Peter would have written this Simeon. No pseudepigraphical person would have wrote that. And so I tend to believe this is written by Simon. It has taken some hits over the years, you know, whether it was canon or not, but it finally decided it was part of the canon, and I think there's a lot of great things in it for us. It is the second book. It is written towards the end of Peter's life, and he is facing imminent death here, so imagine you and I, if you knew you were going to die, if you're like in that TV show and you've been hit by the bullet and the person's over you, and you have the last words that you know you're ever going to utter, what would you say? You would say something important, probably. So these are the words he's imparting to them. This is kind of like, I know I'm not going to be able to speak to you all again. Here's what's most important. What I want to leave you with. That most important thing that I think you should know, because you're not going to hear from me again. All right? So there's a lot of different themes happening in Peter. But what you'll notice in the first two verses, which are what I'm going to speak on today, he lays out the big themes for the whole book. And Matt has talked in the past about a thing called inclusio. Does anyone know what inclusio is? That's a fancy word. It's bookending. You ever have a bookshelf where you put a little slot thing in over here to hold it, and you put one on this side so the books don't fall? So bookending is used by authors often to emphasize this is the most important thing. So you'll notice in verse 1, he talks about knowledge and then grace and peace, and 1 and 2. And then at the end of Peter, he also mentions it again. So knowledge is a big deal in the book of Peter. So we're going to be seeing that. So as he is digging into this, there's this idea of never stop growing in your knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus, okay? And so if I was to say, what's the theme of this morning? If someone was to ask you at lunch, I really don't like it when people leave here and they say, well, that was a good sermon. What was it about? I don't know. Something good? I hope you could say, never stop growing. That's what it was about. So that's your handle. That's your TV line. Someone said, what was the sermon about this morning? Never stop growing. Can we all say that? Never stop growing. Okay, I hope you will take that with you. Now, I'm going to ask Cameron Carter to come up. He's going to read this for us. And Cameron, I'll turn the mic on for you and probably put it at whatever level you need.
Today we'll be reading from 2 Peter verses 1 and 2, reading from the ESV. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Cameron. And Cameron is clapping because usually I give him passages where he has to read all these fancy names. You're like, this is the easiest scripture reading ever. So as we unpack this idea of never stop growing, there's the first one is never stop growing in your equal opportunity gifted faith. That's a big mouthful. And then second is never stop growing in multiplication of grace and peace through experiencing Jesus as God and Lord of your life. So those are kind of full and packed. So let's unpack these, okay? Verse 1, I'll read it again. It says, Simeon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot of times in these epistle is a letter to people. They pack it in. They pack it in. It's like eating energy bites. Talia makes energy. She used to make energy bites for Nickel and Bean. You ever have one of those energy bites? They're about this big, and they probably have like 1,000 calories just in one little thing. They're packed full of calories. If you were going hiking, like on Andes Mountain, you'd want these energy bites. So that's what these epistles are. They're very packed with stuff. And if we look at that first verse, we see this idea here of obtaining. And so who here has ever won a prize in a contest? Has anyone ever won a prize? I see some hands. Who's one of those people that says, I never win anything? You're grumpy, right? You're like, they won a prize and I didn't. I was that person for a while. And a few years ago, I joined the summer reading club at the library for adults. And I started reading some books, and they had these little tickets when you first sign up, and you put your name and phone number on it, and they had several things. You know, know, I could go for the easy prize, the weekly prize, the $20 gift certificate. But no, I said, I'm going for the grand prize. And so I started shoving my things in there. And I knew that I would never win. You know, everybody goes for the grand prize. I would never win this thing. So I just read and threw my little things in there as I finished books. And then in August, I get this call from a number that I don't recognize. Now, you've all had that happen. And then I usually let it go to voicemail because it's probably a spam call. But for some reason, unwise me, decide to answer this one. But it wasn't so unwise because I answered and they said, are you Eric? Yeah, I'm Eric. Well, you won the grand prize in the library summer contest. And I'm like, yeah, right. And I'm asking them some more questions. And after a few minutes, it becomes apparent that this is not a scam. This is legit. And they didn't even ask for my social security number. It was great. So they said, you need to come and pick it up because it's a big, big prize. And I go down there with the van, and it is a television that's like an 80-inch television. I have to put the seats down in the van, and it's in a nice old box, and I put it in there, and I'm thinking, man, I won a major award. Like, and it wasn't a leg lamp. Can you believe that? It maybe a D to a bowling alley? No, it was the TV, and it was kind of cool. We put that down in the basement, and I was like, wow, you know, I didn't really do anything to deserve this prize. I just got picked by lot. You know, they pulled it out of there, and that's amazing. Well, this word that Peter uses here of those who have obtained, that word is said, obtained by lot. You know, your name was picked. You didn't do anything to obtain this. You won a major award. God gave you the faith to be saved. You know, I'm not sure where you are with all your soteriology, which is the study of how one comes to faith, but this one seems to indicate that even your wanting to want God was a gift from him. Your wanting to want God was a gift. Not because you were a good person, not because you came from the right family, not because you're the right ethnicity or the right gender. It is a gift from God based on nothing you have done. Now, you might say, why is this good news? Well, some people, maybe you're one of these, believe that you have to be good enough to get salvation. And you feel like, I've never been good enough. I'm a big fat failure in a lot of areas of my life. And therefore, I'm not eligible. I'm not eligible for the prize. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Did you know that? Don't believe that lie. Hear the truth this morning that if you, in hearing this and hearing that salvation is offered by grace through faith, and if your heart starts to perk up, praise the Lord, God is calling you. My biggest fear for you today is that you hear this and you don't care. You hear this and you don't care. That would be very sad to me. We don't know who's going to get that gift. That's the black box we don't get to see. So I operate as if it's for everyone. I'm not trying to figure out who is and who isn't. No, that's not my job. That's above my pay grade. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to treat it as if all of you hearing this day would respond in faith and say, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're of that person that said, yes, I have. Well, praise the Lord. And this passage talks to you about not just staying there and regarding, you know, salvation is the diving board into the pool. Salvation is the pool. We keep growing in our understanding of what it means to be saved. And that's what Peter's hitting on here. And he's going to hit on this in the rest of this book. Faith that's been given to you is a seed. Who here is a gardener? Have you got your seeds going? Did you plant them? I know John's got them in his basement. You got them under the lights. Maybe you're the sort that you just planted in the garden, hope for the best. But those seeds, if you plant those, I think of Marie. She's got a beautiful garden. So, Marie, if you plant those seeds, if you just throw them all in the pile, how's that going to go? Yeah, so you're going to have to be strategic. You place them. You kind of read up. Okay, this seed needs this much space. And you maybe, if you plant them just right and then you just forget about them, what's going to happen? They won't grow. Weeds will start growing up, choking out that seed. So you and I have been given that seed of faith, but it is our job then to steward the seed of faith. You can do things in your life that will cause your faith to grow. You can do things in your life that will choke it out or neglect it. You have agency. You've been given a gift, but now you have agency. So let me read this first verse again. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained or been given a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you've been given this faith. What's interesting there is he said this faith of equal standing. Peter's like the man, right? He was one of Jesus' top three. And it's interesting here, when he says servant, that word actually isn't like diakonos, which is servant. It's doulos, which is slave. He's going to say, I'm a slave of Jesus and an apostle. Jesus epitomized servant leadership, right? He would wash the disciples' feet. So Peter's saying, your faith is the same standing as mine. We all got the same seed. We all got the same seed. So you can do even greater things than I did, he's saying. You know, Jesus said that. He said, you'll do greater things than I did. So you might say, well, that's Peter. He's special. He's special. He's one of the three. He saw Jesus. He walked with Jesus. You know, I remember thinking at times, like, you know, if only I could have walked with Jesus, I would be a better follower. You know, I could have sat at his feet like Mary and all these rest. Man, wouldn't that be great? Well, let me point out, there's a passage in John 20:29. Jesus is dealing with Thomas. Thomas had said, you know, I'm not going to believe he's alive unless I put my finger in his holes in his hands and his side. And then Jesus comes and lets him do that. Right after that, Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and believed. He's kind of saying, more blessed are those who haven't walked with me and that are believing. So Peter's saying, you got the same stock as I did. Your faith is no different. It's the same faith given to all of us. We are all equal at the cross. And I hope that makes you feel like I matter. Like Bob was saying, you're important. We all may play different parts, but I don't know about you, but if one part of your body's hurting, do you function great? You know, maybe you stubbed your toe. It's hard to do much else than think about a stubbed toe. It's not a huge part, but every single one of you is part of the body of Christ, and you're important. You matter. And you can do great things for the Lord with what he's given you. And you have opportunity. You know, think of that parable of the talents. They're given the talent, and they say, now multiply it. You and I could dig a hole and throw it in there, or we could put it to use. We could steward it. We could plant it, weed it, water it, and produce a hundredfold. But we have a choice. The second big item here is never stop growing in multiplication of grace and peace through experiencing Jesus as God and Lord of your life. That's a packed statement. Verse 2, look at verse 2 with me if you're following along in the Bible. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Who here is good at math or likes math? There's only a couple hands. Okay, a few. All right. What is the difference between addition and multiplication? A lot. In your smaller numbers, it doesn't matter. 1 times 1 is 1. That seems like not so great. 1 plus 1 is 2. So, hey, addition is better than multiplication sometimes, but not very often. 0 times 0, you know, those kind of things. But as you multiply things, like 9 times 9, 81, you know, maybe you're one of those people that's a savant, like 132 times 500, you know, you might be out, blah, blah, blah. Tell me what it is. What is the difference between multiplication and exponential multiplication? A lot. You ever seen that curve? It's like this, and then it goes, woo, really high. Well, Peter here is talking about multiplication, exponential. What's he talking about that? Let's look at this verse again. Look at this verse multiplied. The word. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So this is a math equation. Grace and peace. That's a typical greeting. What is grace? God's unmerited favor. The gift of faith he's talking about, right? shalom. Total well-being. All the gears fitting right, not grinding those gears. It's working as it should. Teleos. I know John loves that word, teleos, right? Perfection, right? Remember that from a couple years ago. So grace and peace be multiplied to you. That seems odd. You think, well, either I got it or I don't. How does it get bigger? What does that mean? Grace and peace be multiplied. Well, think about like a spring. A lot of us have a view like we're a cup. But what if you were a spring? What's the difference in quantity of water between a cup and a spring? Yeah, a cup can get empty. A spring just keeps coming out. Keep coming out. It makes rivers. It makes lakes. It goes to oceans. So as you and I grow in our knowledge of Jesus as God and as Savior, it's going to keep welling out of us exponentially. It'll bless you and I, but it won't stay there. It's going to get everybody else wet. It's going to result in exponential growth into the world. Peter here is talking about exponential growth. Here's a picture of an app Oliver introduced me to. I think Samuel likes this one too. Balautro. And in this, you're getting hands of cards, and you're trying to meet a certain score before the end of five hands, or you're dead or out of it. And you get these jokers that are multipliers, and if you work it right, it can like give you this massive score. This is not mine. This is not my score. 250 times 573,956,300 equals whatever that number is. All right. So that's a killer Balautro hand. Mine are usually like 100. So I'm still working on it. But I'm not saying you should go play Balautro. I'm not endorsing Balautro. But I'm just saying this is a multiplier. This is an example of multiplication or exponential multiplication. Because that number on the right happens from all the other multipliers, but then you multiply times the other one. You and I can have this sort of thing happening in grace and peace in our life. We can continue to grow, never stop growing in our understanding of God's grace and peace. Salvation is not the diving board into the pool of the Christian life. It is the pool. As you and I meditate on what it means to know Jesus as God of our life, as Savior of our life, never stop growing. It's a multiplier. Peter here is saying that grace and peace, which are the mainstays of our faith, will be exponentially multiplied in us and through us by one thing: knowledge of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to unpack this idea of knowledge. Okay, how many of here have heard of The Rock Dwayne Johnson? Anybody hear of The Rock? Okay, how many know or have met The Rock? Okay, a little less numbers. How many can go in The Rock's house and open his fridge and grab a Coke? Yeah, how many hang out, even live at Dwayne's house? They're part of his family. So there's different levels of knowing Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Many of us say, I know about Jesus. I kind of heard about this guy. Some of you might say, I know him. I've met him. I'm acquainted. Others might say, yeah, I regularly meet with him. I go grab a Coke from his fridge, in a sense. And others might say, I'm living with Jesus. I'm part of his family. So this knowledge is the kind of part of family knowledge, not I heard about this person on Entertainment Tonight or whatever. Okay? So as you and I grow in intimate knowledge and experience of Jesus, grace and peace will be multiplied. So with that knowledge, what would be a good priority in one's life based on this? Make time for him. Get to know Jesus better. How do we do that? I'm going to elicit some help. How do you, those of you that are getting to know Jesus better, how do you do that? Reading the Bible. Prayer. Worship. Fellowship. Acting on what we've read. There's a lot of ways. That's called being a disciple. Anyways, A disciple is a follower or an apprentice of Jesus. You're getting to know him. You know, we do apprenticing here a little bit. Like, so, Ashley, you've learned how to do PowerPoint, haven't you? Did we have a class on how to do PowerPoint? How did you learn? I'm putting you on the spot. Did you sit with Elise or did you sit with Abby some and learn that? Those masters of PowerPoint. Or Abby back there, did we just throw you on the soundboard one day and say, Abby, have fun, figure it out. How did you learn the soundboard? Oh, your dad, okay. There's apprenticing. You know, we watch, we sit with, we look, we observe. That's what it means to follow Jesus, to get to know him, to be more like him. You got to spend time and watch. What's he doing? How does he treat his enemies? How does he deal with money? How does he handle life? Well, reading God's word, we get to see that. We also get to see in the body of Christ, how are others who know Jesus better doing this? I want to watch them. I want to figure that out. So the key for you and I to unlock the multiplier of grace and peace in our lives so that it overflows to the rest of the world is intimate knowledge of Jesus as God and as Savior. So there's two things you might want to focus on. He's God. He runs the show. I'm not God. He is. Savior. I don't save myself. He saved me. Those are two aspects we can unpack quite a bit more, and we're going to as we go through 2 Peter. So, saints, do you know Jesus? Do you really know him? You can keep getting to know him better. It's not going to run out. That hole is a deep hole, like Alice falling down the hole. It's a deep hole to go down. You can figure out so many things and grow and grow and grow in this. This happens as you and I abide with him. We have this group Abide that we're doing on Sunday night for young people. But abide, unpack that word abide a bit for yourself as we're going through 2 Peter. Abide. It happens as you and I spend time with him, as we study him, as we imitate him, as we cry with him, as we laugh with him. So, do you really know him? I want you to ponder that. This idea of knowing is a big part of 2 Peter. We're going through it this summer. Pay attention to how Peter unpacks this topic of knowing. I encourage you to read through 2 Peter, even this week. It's not that long a book. You can get done in about 10 minutes with it. Highlight know, the word know or knowing. It's in there 13 times, so I'm giving you a little bit of a hack there. You know you found all the times. If you find 13 times, that's a lot. 13 times in a little short book, so it's a key word. So challenge to me, challenge to you all is let's get to know Jesus better ourselves and make that our highest priority. Because if you know Jesus, the stuff will flow out of that. If you try to do the stuff without knowing him, you'll be more like a cup that's going to get empty. If you know him, you'll be like a fountain that never runs dry. Let's pray. Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we want to know you better. We come to know you better through Jesus, through the Spirit speaking about Jesus living in our life, through the Father. God, we want to know you better, not just know about you. May we experience you. It's available to all of us, not just a select few. Give us the constancy, the perseverance to pursue after you. Like we would a first love. Like that stage of infatuation that we would run after you. You would be on our mind all the time. Turn our hearts towards you, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here at Grace Fellowship, we stand at the end as a blessing just receiving. We raise our hands just as an act of receiving, like you're receiving something for God to go forth this week. So after this, we'll go to Circle Church. I encourage you to join that. Stick around for that. Be involved. Go forth this week determined to know. never stop growing in your knowledge of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Do this by remembering the gift of faith is for all who will have it. Do this by remembering to cultivate this faith. Do this by multiplying grace and peace through you and in you through the intimate knowledge of